Welcome back. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. In February, we brought you the story of a 3-year-old pit bull mix who was believed to have been used as a bait dog in an illegal and barbaric dogfighting ring. She was rescued, but not before her ear and half of her face was mangled by other dogs who, it's believed, were being trained to fight, using her as a kind of punching bag. Abigail was in bad shape when Victoria Frazier from the dog rescue group Love Is Forever found her. She brought her to Estero veterinarian Dr. Thomas Jackson. But since then, she's healed completely. She's been adopted into her forever home, and she's now won, by popular vote, the title of Emerging Hero from the American Humane Hero Dog Awards. She and 6 other dogs who won in their categories, like therapy dogs or rescue dogs, will travel to a gala event in California next month, which will be televised nationally on the Hallmark Channel. It's there where the overall winner will be announced, and that is determined by online voting. We have links on our website at wgcunews.org/Gulf Coast Live. Just click on Abigail's story. If Abigail wins, she'll be awarded with $5,000 towards a charity of her choice, and she's planning to donate to Dogs on Deployment. That's a nonprofit that arranges foster care for pets of soldiers who are deployed overseas. So back when Abigail's story first hit the news, Dr. Michelle Chargot with Arthrex in North Naples got an idea. A new product that Arthrex had come up with might be able to help her heal. Jumpstart is a new kind of wound dressing developed by a team led by David Shepard, and it was just what Abigail needed. In February, we invited Dr. Michelle Chargot and David Shepard from Arthrex into the studio. We also had Victoria Frazier in the studio, along with the star and hero herself, Miss Abigail. Here is that interview. Victoria, tell me first a little bit about Abigail's story and how she came to your attention.
So we saw Abigail on Facebook. We saw Abigail on Facebook and noticed she was in horrific condition. And I had texted her picture to Thomas Jackson, her veterinarian at Pets First Wellness. And he pretty much just said to me, just go get her.
Yeah, he said, go get her. So you saw her on Facebook. Was it a dog rescue feed?
It was under Urgent Miami Dogs. They post a lot of, they go into the shelters over there, and they post a lot of dogs that are in need of rescue.
And so you saw it. And how long between her being picked up and you getting over there?
We saw her the 13th of November that night and picked her up the next morning.
And then you drove her back. How was that?
My husband did. Yeah, she was stinky. She was infected. She stunk so bad. She didn't move a lot on her way here, but That's how we got her here.
But she hadn't received any medical treatment.
She received some while she was there, but what she really needed was not at all close to what actually she needed.
Yeah, what she needed. And then so the news picked up this story?
Yes, we had a couple news crews over, I believe it was day 2 of her journey. Wink News and Fox 4 came over and did a story on her and have been following her story and journey ever since then.
And then Dr. Chargot, this is where you saw what was going on, and you caught it on the news.
Yes, Dr. Jackson is a friend of mine, so I saw him on the news with this dog. It just broke my heart to see. I know that we had some options to help the dog heal, so we have a wound dressing that was used for the dog as well as our Amnion product as well. So I jumped to, worked with some people at the company, and we had everything to Dr. Jackson that evening, and then he applied it before the initial debridement and then incorporated it with all the surgeries that he did for her.
So you saw it on the news.
Mm-hmm.
You thought, we have these products and these products and these products, and that would be perfect for that little dog.
Exactly.
And then so you made it happen to where you were able to donate it from Arthrex?
Yes.
And you got it to the doctor like within a day?
Yeah, he came over that night and I taught him about the product and then he used it the following day.
Wow. So Jumpstart is the name of the wound covering, though, that was kind of innovated.
It is, yeah. Jumpstart is one of our newer products. It's a wound dressing. Can be used for chronic wounds or for surgical incisions. Has lots of uses. And in this case, it really helped her. So it was great.
And it's funny because we're sitting here talking about it, and she just turns and looks this little face at you like...
She knows we're talking about her.
She totally does. David Shepard, you're the director of Orthobiologics. That's a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
It is. And you're there at Arthrex. So this is kind of your area. Can you tell me a little bit about what Jumpstart is? It's a wound dressing, which that's kind of a nice way to say bandage.
Right, exactly. It's a bandage, but what's special about it is what's printed on it. So they basically use essentially a screen printing technology to go ahead and print on these two different metal ions. They're silver and zinc. And you can see on it, I've got a piece that I gave you there. It's got dots on it that are different colors. One of them is zinc and the other one is silver. And it creates an electrical charge between them. And that electrical charge isn't perceivable. It's not something you can feel, but it's about 0.7 to 1 volt. And what it does is it actually basically imitates the natural electric charge that's in your skin already. When you have a wound or if you have a surgical incision, that electrical charge is interrupted. So you can't get good cell migration across that wound bed. And this basically reinvents that, or it basically imitates it so that you're able to get those cells to move across that wound bed more efficiently. The other thing that it does that's even more important is it destroys bacteria.
Yeah.
So it's an antibacterial dressing. But it also has the ability to induce skin cell migration across a wound bed.
So the antibacterial thing is pretty critical, especially with
yes,
a dog bite.
Absolutely.
Or any kind of bite.
And that stinking that she was talking about, that's obviously a very, very bad infection that's there. So to be able to get a dressing on there that's extremely antibacterial and also it's able to attack some of those bacteria that are antibiotic resistant, that's something that there's no bacteria that's electrical resistant at this time.
Oh, well, that's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the unique aspects of Jumpstart.
So when I think about electrical currents, I'm thinking of, you know, Edison and flicking on a light bulb, mm-hmm. Like I think most people who are not scientists might think. But, I mean, can you explain to me electrical currents in the body? That's just there, and that's how cells – is that how they communicate?
Yep, that's essentially how cells move into a space. They use there is a natural electrical charge that's inside the body. It's, again, not perceivable. It's not something that we notice or know all the time. But what Jumpstart does is it imitates that, basically tricks the body into understanding that electrical field, that what we call a transepithelial potential, is still there and allows those cells to migrate across that wound bed. And again, for bacteria, where it's interesting is it attracts the bacteria. Gram-negative and gram-positive bacteria will be attracted to the silver aspect of the dressing, and then it acts like a bug zapper. It'll actually electrocute and destroy the bacteria.
So it can pull bacteria out from a wound.
Correct.
By attracting it out.
It also has the ability to penetrate into the skin up to about 3 millimeters. And that's really important for some bugs that are inside the skin.
That is just amazing.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's really fascinating.
That was the next thing I was going to ask, though, is can it get like beyond where the wound's
yes.
at? But it goes into 3 millimeters. And
3 millimeters, yeah.
Well, how thick is skin?
Oh, thicker than that. You know, you're looking at upwards of 8-9 millimeters in some locations on the skin. But again, it doesn't have to penetrate all that hard or all that far in order to get to bacteria that we're interested in removing or destroying.
Yeah, and usually with those topical things. And then when you have a surgical situation, now this works the same on pets and
yes.
human beings.
Yes. Yep. The concept is exactly the same.
So how much does it speed up the healing process?
It's a great question. One of the early studies that we did on what are called split thickness grafts. So if a patient has a burn, you'll take a skin graft from them. And we were able to put Jumpstart on one side of that graft that we took and then a traditional dressing on the other side. And what they found is there was about a 30 to 40% increase in the healing rate of the side that had received the Jumpstart versus the traditional dressing.
And does that vary from person to person and
it
dog
can.
To dog probably?
Yeah, it sure can. And obviously technique is important, so that's why it's really important to make sure that the surgeon or the clinician understands how to use the dressing. It isn't active. The electrical field is not created unless it's exposed to a conductive fluid, a conductive media like water or wound exudate or like saline.
So it's sitting here right now on the table. It's not doing anything.
Nope.
But if it was touching something that, you know, how kind of injuries kind of have a little ooze to them
exactly.
or whatever, that,
yep.
that'll activate it.
Correct.
Now, does it go bad over time?
It does. It's only active for about 5 to 7 days.
Okay.
Then you have to switch it out.
Well, that's less frequently than regular wound dressing.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm.
How often do you have to change regular wound dressing?
Depends on the wound. I know
we did hers every three times a day mm-hmm. for the good first 2 weeks until the infection healed, and then we moved forward with this.
Wow.
Which is important with the bioburden of that type of injury. There's a lot of bacteria
bioburden.
There. Yeah, that's just a lot of bacteria. The
that's
amount
the
of
way
bacteria.
That the way that you do that's a great shorthand. Bioburden. I mean, that's a lot of it's a scientific shorthand. I feel like I'm learning so much today. And then I want to ask you also, Dr. Chargeau, can you tell me a little bit about why it's important to speed up the incision area or a wound caused by an incision on somebody that had a surgery?
Yeah, there's a couple things that the Jumpstart helps us do. It's important for chronic wounds as well as just surgical wounds to speed up that area of healing along with being antibacterial. It helps not only in the cosmetic effect of the incision or the wound, but also, like Dave was talking about, the bacteria as well. So it's going to kill the bacteria, speed healing. And, of course, that's important so patients don't develop chronic wounds. If they're having a surgery and they have just a simple surgical incision, it's important to use this dressing so that their surgery goes well and isn't rejected. So it's always important to heal wounds or incisions.
As quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. And as far as scarring, is there a difference in the amount of scarring that occurs when using something like Jumpstart as opposed to a regular bandage?
Yes. Definitely. Even in burn patients, it's been used. But the cosmetic effect, like Dave was saying, it speeds the healing process. So it brings those keratinocytes, which are cells that help in healing, and really improves that incision. Or in Abigail's case, you can't even see where her surgical incision is anymore because of the fur. But yeah, it does help that area as well.
Yeah, I got to say, I was surprised when she came in. I mean, the story that you hear before is that half of her face mm-hmm. was just kind of like mangled mm-hmm. and she looks fine. Mm-hmm. She looks great. I mean, like there's hair all over. She mm-hmm. looks like she's getting a little nervous. She's getting yeah. too much attention. She's looking at me like, okay, quit talking about me like that. I'm right here. But she looks great. And she also wears these hair bows. Can you tell me, Victoria, a little bit about the hair bows? Well, you call them bonnets, but they're kind of like the little elastic bands, headbands that you put around like a baby.
Sure. So they all kind of started day two of her journey where TJ actually took one of her bandages and tied it. And so ever since then, we kind of have called her bandages her bonnets. Well, people started hearing about that and actually sending her bonnets. So we just started covering up her bandages with actual bonnets. And then from there on, it's just been a continuous of people sending them from all over the world.
All over the world. How far is the farthest away bonnet that you've gotten?
I don't know. All over China. I mean, Europe.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
People
Australia.
From China and Europe
mm-hmm.
are sending her little
all over
flowered hair bonnets.
Yep. We have packages every single week that we pick up from Pez First Wellness Center. And so we...
That would be Abigail.
And so we open those on a weekly basis to show everyone, you know, what she's getting. But yeah. From all over.
And people are keeping updated with her progress mm-hmm. through your Facebook page?
Yes, through her Facebook page, Bonnets for Abigail. And if we don't post, you know, in the morning like I usually do or at night, people are like, is she okay? You know, we haven't seen her today. So they do look forward to seeing her on a daily basis.
Yeah. Look, she's about to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
her eyes are closed. She's pretty relaxed. I'm glad she likes the room here. We are talking about a breakthrough in wound care with our guests, David Shepherd and Dr. Michelle Chargott with Arthrex, and with Victoria Frazier, the rescuer of an injured dog who was the beneficiary of this technology. You can become part of our conversation by giving us a call at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK, or find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media and on Twitter at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Dr. Chargott, tell me a little bit more about wound care. What is a chronic wound? I mean, there's, you know, surgical incisions, and then you have your injury and your mm-hmm. and your regular run-of-the-mill boo-boo. But when it comes to chronic wound care, what is that, and why can't these wounds heal?
So chronic wound is just something that doesn't heal. So whether you cut yourself or some patients have multiple comorbidities that can predispose them to having chronic wounds. So that wound, you know, is something whether they were burned or they just developed a wound, you know, a bed ulcer or something like that. But the wound itself, we're actually conducting research currently that's going to test the topical part of the shoulder skin. And they're going to take patients that are getting shoulder surgeries and pre-treat it with our Jumpstart dressing. They're going to have the surgery, and then they'll post-treat it with our surgical dressing as well. So they're going to see if that eliminates bacteria on the skin. Now, that can make a difference in chronic wounds as well, because if you have bacteria that are resistant to antibiotics or bacteria that are resistant, there's biofilm bacteria as well. So that dressing can kill all of those bacteria. So with chronic wounds, it makes a big difference to use this dressing.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not suggesting that this could replace antibiotics, but this type of technology, has anybody looked at that? I mean, I guess that would be more pharmaceutical than like the mechanical, mm-hmm. but looked at that as far as, because you, like you said, no bacteria is immune to an electric current like
right.
this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
So there's a lot of interesting ways that this could go as far as technology. Mm-hmm. And then also with burn victims. Mm-hmm. You mentioned burns. How does this work with those?
It could certainly work in very much the same way. And it is commonly used in burn applications, or it's becoming more and more popular as people are beginning to understand the use of electrical technology or microelectric currents in the treatments of larger wounds.
How new is microelectric current technology?
It's been around for a better part of about 10 years, but it's always required a battery pack that's associated with it. So the patient would have to take around a battery pack along with them while they had their dressing. What's unique about this is there's no battery pack required.
And it's only stimulated by the
water.
Water, by yeah. any kind of liquid.
Conductive fluid, any conductive fluid, yeah. But it's basically, again, they're little dots. These little dots are microcell batteries, so they're tiny little batteries.
That's just – it's like nanotechnology mm-hmm. almost, you know. And then so how long does it take for them to figure this out? You said this has been around for 10 years, but somebody must have gotten this idea,
right.
you know.
Maybe. It was developed by a small company called Vomeris. They're based out of Scottsdale, Arizona. And then they worked through a DOD grant, a Department of Defense grant, and with a couple of universities. And a lot of times it starts with university funding and governmental funding to get technologies like this off of the concept table and onto the clinic table.
I wonder why that is. Does private industry not really do that kind of research? Or
sometimes the private industry just doesn't see it. And a lot of times the universities are the first to see some of these technologies and takes investments from the larger companies like Arthrex to kind of bring it out into more popular usage.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's two different prongs of the fork, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of things do they have to do with this little square right here? What did they have to go through in order to get that approved to be used on an actual person or dog?
Great question. Well, now in this particular case, obviously it's a device that's approved through the FDA. And you start off with in vitro testing, so just seeing what it does with then individual cells in a petri dish. Mm-hmm. Then you go into animal testing, see what it does on skin, and then you bring it into human clinical trials. And that's one of the advantages that we have, and a lot of the technologies, I won't say a lot, but some of the technologies that we have at Arthrex, we started off in the veterinary field because it's easier from a regulatory pathway to get things into veterinary application, and you can start helping companion animals very, very quickly with new technologies versus waiting.
Is it easier to get things passed for use on pets than on people?
Generally, yes. Yeah, generally, yes.
And so they kind of get to be the first line of testing.
Right, which in many cases is really beneficial because there aren't a lot of great solutions for some of the injuries that our pets sustain, both on the equine and canine side, so for horses and dogs. That's why we formed a separate division of Arthrex in the veterinary area to help out those companion animals.
Yeah. Now, dogs can't really express exactly how it feels when they have something like this on them. And when you think about a little electrical charge sending some signals through where your skin was, does it tickle? Is it perceptible at all?
Nope, not perceptible at all. It's about 0.7 to 1 volt, so it's not something that you can really perceive.
0.7 to 1 volt.
Volt, correct.
So, and then I'm thinking about a battery, like a 9-volt battery?
Right.
Okay. So it's
not something you can feel.
All right. So did Abigail indicate that she noticed anything different between regular traditional stuff?
No, not at all.
And did she ever have to wear a cone of shame? She's pretty good about having something on her head.
She did for a little while. It was kind of hard being after she had her major skin graft to even put anything on her neck. But when we would clean up her wound on her head and her ear area, we'd have to like put something around the actual cone itself so that it would, you know, kind of protect that area.
So her entire, I guess, her daily schedule would be wound dressing. Then she would have to take like maybe an oral antibiotic, I would imagine.
So she was on a lot of IV stuff too, mainly the first couple weeks. So we would actually have to knock her out 3 times a day in order to change those bandages.
Well, she's strong.
Mm-hmm. Because she, you know, it was painful. So she was on a high dose of pain meds and a high dose of antibiotics plus, you know, IV injections and things like that to keep her stable.
Yeah. Did you notice once you went to the jumpstart technology a quickening of the
yes.
healing process?
Absolutely. It was amazing. Because I would come visit her. Abigail agrees.
She's growling over here. She's kind of groaning.
When I would go in there, I would go in there daily with her to see some of her bandage changes. I would miss a couple of them because I do teach full time. But when I would go visit her daily, after they did start using the jumpstart, it was like night and day from the 48 hours from the time we put it in and then 48 hours when we changed it later. It was like 5 days ahead of schedule. So it was really, really neat to see.
That's really remarkable. Mm-hmm. What did the vet? She's just – does she not like her chair?
She does this right before bed. So she's probably like, why am I not laying down? I'm sitting in this chair. Why can I not lay down?
I think there's room to curl in a little ball.
She does this every night before bed. Like, come on. Get in bed.
Sorry we're boring you.
I know. She's just – she's like, I'm better now. Can we just move on?
Yes.
What is her situation now? You're fostering her?
I currently am fostering her. After everything healed, she did get this cough after an antibiotic, so we had to make sure that everything was fine with her heart and her lungs. So that's pretty much passed, and then we are getting ready to get her spayed, and then she'll be ready for her forever home, which will be difficult.
Surgery.
But, I know. But
how many surgeries did she have to go through?
About 4 major surgeries.
And the veterinarian just did this
mm-hmm.
because he just loves dogs, obviously.
Because Pets First Wellness is awesome.
Yeah, because clearly he's a fan of the canine.
Yes.
So she's in foster. She's going to then get spayed, and then she will be up for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So how is her temperament? I mean, she's gone through a lot, like psychologically, obviously, mm-hmm. and then also physically, and at the hands of other dogs and really mean people. How is she around dogs and other people?
She's amazing. You would think nothing has even happened to her. She loves people, dogs of all sizes, cats. She's a little scared of rabbits, but I think they bounce too quickly. But then again, she bounces just like them. So, but she's amazing.
And does she have sensitive spots? Like, does she let you rub her ear and stuff
where her
ear was?
I think she definitely likes – I think it's still a little itchy. I'm sure there's still some sort of healing going on the inside a little bit. So she does like to be rubbed there, scratched. And we do kind of – try to rub those areas to get that scar tissue down.
Yeah, the scar tissue and stuff. And sometimes whenever there's a cut like that, there's a little bit of nerve damage.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's kind of asleep,
you
know? If you've ever had a surgery, there's kind mm-hmm. of that kind of a feeling. So has anybody ever been able to track down this dogfighting ring where she may have been?
I know they tried to do some sort of investigation down there, but a good Samaritan brought her in. And so, you know, Miami-Dade has these kinds of dogs daily, you know, and trying to track those people down and get exactly pinpoint where they're located is, I mean, it takes a village and army to do that. And, you know, Miami-Dade, I don't think has the manpower to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure they have the desire, but the manpower mm-hmm. is what's hard. And then getting after all the different places. Do you see a lot of dogfighting happening in our area in Southwest Florida?
It's all over. Oh, yeah. It's in our backyard every day.
Do you have dogs brought to you from that, like here locally?
I believe the local shelters do. Lee County Domestic Animal Services, Gulf Coast Humane Society. I'm sure they see a lot of those cases. You know, and then whether or not those people are caught, I'm hoping.
Yeah, it's just they're.
But it's difficult. It's a very sticky situation.
And what they do is they take a dog that's a more passive dog, and they use it. You said as a bait dog.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does do you know anything about how that works?
I don't know the details about it, but I do know that, you know, dog fighting, they look for those dogs that, like Abigail, she's not going to put up a fight. She's not going to fight anything. So they use those dogs to use them just like you would on a fishing lure and hook, and that's your bait, and you get those fish that want that worm, and, you know, and they go after that particular dog and learn to fight that way.
Yeah. Well, poor little thing. Well, now she's better. And turning back to the science side of things, I wanted to ask at Arthrex, are you guys working on anything new and exciting in wound care? Anything you want to give us a sneak preview of? It's kind of fun to hear what you're up to.
Oh, absolutely. And that, in our area on the orthobiologic side, that's one of the areas that's developing new things all the time. As far as Jumpstart is concerned, Michelle alluded to it a little bit earlier, but we're looking at using Jumpstart pre-op. There are a couple of bacteria that live inside your skin that can be dangerous after a surgical incision, and we're hoping that Jumpstart can help eliminate those bacteria inside the skin before the surgical incision actually occurs. So we're looking at research and working with a couple of universities on researching that application for Jumpstart.
Yeah, currently they do like what, iodine and
right,
alcohol?
Exactly, which is great for the outside of the skin, but it can't get into the little nooks and crannies where some of these bacteria tend to live.
Like a subdermal
kind of stuff. Yep.
And so that's in the testing phase.
That's in the testing phase right now. And then, again, in the orthobiologics area, we work on cellular technologies and looking at how we can take cells that are in your body already, concentrate them, and then use them to help heal yourself.
Yeah, I just really find it just so intriguing. And I cannot believe that there are electrical currents that are making our cells heal, and then using a little bit of extra electricity over a wound is what's going to make it heal that much faster. And like she said, in one day or 48 hours, she was moved ahead about 5 days as far as healing with her skin.
We've been getting feedback from there are a number of professional teams, athletic teams like in the NFL and the NHL, who are using these dressings on turf burns and other injuries.
Yeah, when you get a strawberry, those are
exactly,
tough.
Exactly. And they said, what did you do differently with this patient? What did you put on them differently? They're healing so much faster than normal. And so we've been getting the feedback from the human side as well.
And these are licensed out to hospitals and doctors?
Correct. Correct.
Do you ever see this being on a Band-Aid one day?
It's entirely possible. It's not an area that we're in. We're mostly on the surgical side, dealing with patients that are in the hospital or having a surgical procedure done. But it's entirely possible to take this technology and put it on something that you can get over the counter.
Well, because it's not something that would be toxic, really.
Or, correct.
You
correct.
Know?
Yep.
It's not even like
– yeah, there's nothing that essentially leaches out into the skin or into the body. None of that does that. It stays on the fabric
itself. I mean,
it's
not a chemical.
Correct.
So, you know, that's – well, that's really interesting. We'll have to keep an eye on that. I'm really interested. I got to say that Abigail looks great. Mm. I want to say thank you so much to Victoria for bringing her in and taking the time from work to bring her in. She looks so great. We'll take plenty of pictures and put them on the internet. And Also, Dr. Michelle Chargott and David Shepherd from Arthrex, I want to thank you for coming in today. And I don't want us just making it accessible for those of us who don't understand science to learn a little bit more about what you're doing there at Arthrex on the North Naples campus. It's fun to get a sneak peek into the technology that's happening in our own backyard. So thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
That was our show from February of this year, and now little Abigail is headed to California, where she's already won the Emerging Hero Award. She's in competition for the overall award with the Humane America Dog Awards, and if she wins, she'll receive $5,000 towards the charity of her choice. She's chosen Dogs on Deployment, an organization that arranges foster care for the pets of soldiers who were deployed overseas. You can find out more about the American Humane Dog Awards and about Dogs on Deployment by heading to our website at WGCUnews.org. Just click on the Gulf Coast Live tab, and within this story, you'll find the links to all the organizations involved. Our show today was produced by Matthew Smith. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1. WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM. NPR for Southwest Florida.